The following episode of Focus on Arts was made possible by the Creative Community Scheme funding.
Welcome to this week's Focus on Arts. I'm Paul Knees, and a few weeks ago we talked to Derek Kavanagh from Coasters Musical Theatre, who took us through an interesting journey on the history of the whole place, a long and varied history, because it opened in 1980 and it's been going 45 years. So a very long history. We learned about that. So I thought today we could bring a couple of other guests in and we could talk about how Coasters runs today. So I'd like to introduce and welcome Jessica Clough.
Hello.
And Jo Sharp.
Hello.
Great to have you in the studios. Now, I want you to each take a turn and introduce yourselves, who you are and what you do at Coasters. Jess, let's start with you.
Kia ora. My name is Jessica and I am the current president of Coasters. I've been president for 6 years, going on into my 7th year, so officially the longest serving president of a continuous term.
Yeah,
right. I think we've had some.
She beat me.
Yeah, I beat Joe. That's why I stayed on.
You stayed on to beat her, made it into a race. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very competitive.
Fair enough. So, Joe, you were the former.
I was
director.
Yes. Prior to Jess, I was the president for the longest running time until she came along. And now I'm just a board member. Well, not just. I shouldn't say just. No. I am a board member. And it's been our lives for quite a while, hasn't it, really, over the years.
So has it taken over your lives?
It has a tendency to.
It does.
We do bring sleeping bags sometimes, don't we, to stay because we're there so often.
So, yes, I think I joined the board. I can't even remember when I joined the board, but I started at Coasters in 2007. Was my first show with Coasters.
What show was that?
A little while ago.
All the Girls 60s USA that Rena did. So I very nervously turned up to a random audition because it said, looking for girls that can sing. And I turned up and I got very nervous and I couldn't sing. And then he was very kind and said, do you want a drink of water? he was looking for someone to play a young Diana Ross.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That would be a great role to play.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. So he was really hoping I could sing.
And you could.
Yes. And then I just kind of continued on from there. Graham Stevens was one of my directors, and then he asked me if I wanted to help him direct at one point. And so then I got into the sort of behind-the-scenes stuff. And then made my way onto the board and eventually became president.
Mm. So what does the president do?
What does the president do?
Yes.
Well, chairs the board meetings, oversees like the direction of Coasters with the board. It's quite a collaborative approach, really.
It's all, I see the president as the captain of the ship. They steer the ship kind of thing. And everyone has their say.
Yeah.
And the president just sort of
Keeps everyone together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unites us all, really.
Yeah, but we do have, I mean, it's quite a collaborative group and we all have our own parts to play and everyone does a lot individually. So it's quite a nice role being the president because we're working with such a good team of people. Yeah.
That's great. So how many on the board?
11.
Oh, that's a big board.
Yeah. Yes. At the moment we have almost a full board. 12 is our full quota. But over the years it has gone down to as small as 8. You had quite a small board at one point.
We did. We sort of dropped off and we tried to get people to come on. But it was still functioning very well. It's amazing what you can do. Mm.
So a full quota on the board at the moment must mean that Coasters is in pretty good health.
Yeah, we are. I can't speak to earlier on because Coasters started before I was born. but at the moment, we've kind of got into a bit of a swing of things. Yeah. We went through a stage. You were part of the group that reinvigorated the cabarets.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they were already running.
Yeah.
But
was it Nick Swan?
Nick
Swan, yeah. Did it. Yeah.
But I brought something else with the small scripted musicals.
Did, yeah.
So I put us on the map for that, which was lovely. It's a great legacy for me.
Yeah.
Because it works so well on our stage. We've done all sorts.
Yeah, so we had been doing the big shows, which I'm sure Derek spoke to you about. And then the cabaret started, which was our small kind of variety shows.
Bread and butter. It was our bread and butter.
And then, Joe brought in our small scripted musicals, which we did at number 15, which have also, we've kind of interdispersed them between our small cabaret shows. And then I kind of started the
big ones
shows.
Again. Yeah. Which was lovely to have them back.
Yeah. So they
weren't
with Mary
making
Poppins.
Much money, were they, in the old days? They were breaking even.
Yeah.
So which is fine, but just dropped off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People left.
Yes.
You know, they weren't involved as much anymore, so we lost that sort of talent. But now there's this resurgence of young people all wanting to get involved, lighting, sound.
That's
absolutely
fantastic. And often in these organisations you have ebbs and flows.
Yes.
And resurgences and drop-offs and all those things. And you've just come off a successful, well, I hope it's a successful season of Legally Blonde. How did that go?
It went really well. It was very successful, I think. We had amazing audience feedback. Yeah. The cast and crew, from all accounts, loved the experience. Yeah. And I was really proud of it.
You should be. It looked phenomenal. It was phenomenal. Mm. The cast were just so there. You know, there was not a moment where they dropped their character or anything like that. Were so into it.
Yeah, they were really passionate.
Yes.
The cast and crew were very passionate about the show, and so it showed on stage, I think. Yeah.
That's great. Because
I supplied the toilet.
Really? Tell us more,
yeah,
Joe.
So Petra. Petra was our props queen.
Yes.
And she said, right, there's a scene where there's a bathroom, and so, you know, if anyone can think of a way of having a toilet in there, and I've got one. So I had one outside that I couldn't even sell for a dollar.
Right.
And it was spanking new. And so I gave it to them, and it looked fantastic.
It did. It was great.
Yes, it was really cool.
Now, you took a bit of a risk with that show because it was a big show. It would have cost a lot to put on, cost a lot to get the rights to do the show in the first place. And you had to hire Southwood's Theatre out because, you know, your theatre was a bit small for that particular show. So, but that was it. Did you feel that as a risk as you went into this?
I don't think so. This is our third big show in our sort of resurgence of big shows.
Yes.
And we were confident that we could do it. I mean, we actually, our very first big show, which was Mary Poppins, if we could do that, then we can do any show, because Mary Poppins was supposed to be our 40th anniversary show, and it was due to take place in 2020.
Uh-huh.
Now, we all know what happened then.
Yeah.
And so we pretty much, we had started all the planning process. We had sent out audition notices. We were ready to actually get into auditioning, and we went into lockdown. So we sort of scrambled, and we rejigged everything, and we did it all in 2021, which was going really well until we went into that next lot of lockdowns, and we ended up performing to reduced capacity audiences in October of 2021, and we managed to get through that. And so I figure that as a board, and most of us are still, most of us from then are still on the board. If we can go through that, then Legally Blonde was actually
easy.
Yeah. And we learnt a lot from Mary Poppins and then from Little Mermaid.
Sure.
So every time after a big show, especially, we have a debrief and what went right, what went wrong, what can we improve. So I feel like this one, Legally Blonde, really was a lot smoother because we had learnt some lessons from our previous two shows, definitely.
Yeah.
So how far ahead do you have to plan the shows out?
We're starting to talk about our 2027 show.
Yes.
We had a board meeting.
You have to.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, and we're not planning yet, but we're starting to talk about it, where we're going to have it, what ideas, what team might be available. But usually about a year in advance. Mm. So for Legally Blonde, we got the rights sort of October, November last year, and it was on stage October this year.
A year later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it takes all that time to plan what you're going to do.
Creative team and production team.
So you can book a venue without knowing what show you're going to put on.
Yeah.
We always do.
Yeah, it's the best way.
We had booked Southwoods probably like 3 or 4 months before we had even got rights for shows.
Mm. And as well as those big shows, you intersperse with smaller shows in your own premises as well?
Yes,
on site. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so we'll do, might do a small scripted musical or a cabaret or a one night only type thing, or just something to fill a gap. On a year with a big show like Legally Blonde, we might have something very early on, but not during and not immediately after, because there's so much of the board involved in the big shows that we just don't want to spread ourselves that thinly, really, to be honest.
So like this year, we at the start of the year, we had Blues Bar, which we had.
Oh, yes, I remember
which
that.
It was fabulous, and just lots of blues singers and a live band, and that was at Coasters at our small theatre. And then Legally Blonde, and now we're doing nothing else for the rest of the year, apart from planning.
Planning for the year ahead. Okay, so with the big productions, how do you decide which ones you want to do?
Mm.
There are quite a lot of them out there.
Yes, there are.
It's a good question. The board has quite in-depth conversations about what ideas we have. We look at what's happened previously, sort of in the last 5 to 10 years in the Wellington region, because we try not to do the same shows that have been done to,
of course,
you know, because no one wants. Like, you don't want to do Legally Blonde next year because we've already done it this year. So we try and look at that. We do some audience surveys at the end of our musicals to see what people are interested in watching, what they would be, you know, want to see next.
Newsletters, we put something out there.
Yeah.
Maybe on Facebook sometimes, it depends. But quite often we have ideas amongst ourselves, or we'll form a small team. We've done that in the past as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we like, because we quite often apply for rights for a couple of shows. So we did this time around. We applied for a few different shows because you never quite know if you're going to get the rights either.
Of course.
And then the other thing is looking at if anyone's interested in directing, what shows they're interested in actually directing, because Joe and I are both directors. Yeah. Some shows I'm interested in watching or being part of, but I wouldn't be interested in directing, because you have to have an idea of what you want to do with the show.
Yeah.
I don't know, passion
to be there. Yeah.
So yeah, it there's a whole bunch of factors, and also who we can cast. Like, do we have the demographic of cast to, like, if it's a show that has lots of males.
You need to find
them. We have to know that we have a potential pool of males who could fill those roles, because there's never enough males in musical theatre.
No. Mm-hmm.
But then you have auditions sometimes. I know this happened with Legally Blonde. You had auditions for the parts, and some people who hadn't been involved with Coasters before come in for those parts because they're interested in the show.
Yes. Yeah. And so you have to trust, and that's where a bit of trust comes in. We, as a board for Legally Blonde, thought that it was a popular enough musical and we would get a wide range of people auditioning that maybe we didn't know, and we did. We had probably about half the cast who had never done a Coasters show before, and a number of our leads, about half of our leads had never been involved with Coasters.
Which is
quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially like Elle Lauren, who you met the other time. Yeah, she's never done anything in Wellington, and because Elle Woods was her dream role, she rocked on up and was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those people can stay as well and
yes,
sometimes yeah. and be part of Coasters going forward.
Yes, a pool, other shows. A little pool.
Yes, and we are hopeful. Yeah, we've got a few people from Legally Blonde who are definitely interested in being part of the Coasters family and doing stuff with us in the future.
Fantastic. So it's all about maintaining and growing your family because sometimes people, for various reasons, people might leave the district or whatever, people go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some don't hang around after a show, do they?
Mm.
They don't. But that's fine because we've had some amazing finds in when people come to auditions. That's one of the nicest processes. I love that bit.
Oh,
I love to see who's going to come through the door and you're blown away.
Auditions, yeah. And that's, I love that part too,
yeah.
is you never know. And you look at the list of names and you're like, I don't know half of these people.
No.
And so it's wonderful when they walk in the door and blow you away.
So it's like the excitement of the unknown.
Yeah, it's kind of.
So, but yeah, some people stay and some people go and that's just kind of, both of us at some point were the new people that came in the room and, now we've been involved with Coasters for a long time. So
how many members of Coasters are there? You have membership, I guess, don't you?
Oh, gosh, I don't know the figures. Do you?
Roughly.
Roughly, well, it depends. So there's like an average of around 60 that are regular members and then like on a big show year like this year, everyone who's part of the cast and crew has to become members, and so it's like over 100 and something. So it fluctuates with the shows. So like next year, it'll probably be slightly less because we're on a off year for our big shows.
Mm.
So it also gives us a break.
Yeah, it's just needed.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Now you have other things you have to do putting on a show. You've got to do costumes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do advertising and ticketing. You've got to organise how the tickets are going to be sold and all that sort of stuff, which is other providers for that, I guess, like
Event Find
or something. The tickets.
Yeah, but the tickets used to be done by Graham.
Right.
It was his phone number, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he had a book.
And you had to book them and people would reserve tickets and say they'd pay on the night and then not show up. That happened a few times, but then we got, was it tri-booking?
We're in tri-booking.
You're in tri-booking, but they will take a cut.
Yeah, it's not a massive cut, but it does. It really does free up all the admin side of ticketing. Yeah.
So it's worth it to have someone else run the ticketing, essentially.
So it's a user-based system, so we enter in all the stuff and we manage the ticketing, but they run the actual back-end side of it. So it's a lot more automated. And so the person in charge of ticketing just has to plug in the details, enter in all the codes and stuff, and then at the end run a report. So it's a lot easier.
It's quite simple with all the technology that's available.
Yeah.
Now, what about advertising? Because I know I saw big advertising boards all around town for Legally Blonde.
Yes.
Mm. How do you organise all that?
So that is done by a board member.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much at the start of a show, we allocate production team. So we have a production team. So there's people in charge of each area. Sometimes it's a board member or sometimes it's someone who has come in to be part of the show. Ingrid Corby was our advertising and marketing manager for Legally Blonde. And so she coordinated all of that. She is also a board member. And she organised all the photography and all of the posters and banners and all the massive billboards you saw were organised by her. And I was going to say her team, but she didn't really have a team.
She did it all.
It's pretty much
on her
just
own,
Ingrid.
Really.
Ingrid and
that's the way she works.
Yeah. So she did that all on her own. Yeah.
She does a fabulous job.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Very professional looking billboards, really.
Yeah.
I did Mary Poppins.
Yes.
Didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
I did Mary Poppins.
Mm. Yeah. So we were also fortunate we had an amazing photographer, Joe from Captured by Friday, did the photography. So we had some amazing images for
good.
That. She's supported us for a number of years. She did photos for Mary Poppins as well.
Mary Poppins.
We usually have a person in charge of each department and then they get their team and it depends on what size team they need. Like our props team was very large because there was so many props.
Huge amount,
Our wardrobe team. Our wardrobe team is a little bit smaller, but there was still a lot. There were so many changes in Legally Blonde and for all of our other shows.
So, it's
everyone has their own sort of head of department as such, and then they accumulate their
teams
own team.
Teams and they all come together. But then you've got lighting, you've got sound, you've got set design and construction.
Yep.
Who does all that?
Same thing. There's a we've got a lovely lighting guy, Jamie, who he did all the lights himself. Actually, he didn't have a team. He did it all himself.
He's so capable.
The set design and build team was really large. Alison Clark headed that, and then she actually had people come down from Tauranga.
Really?
To help build.
Amazing.
I had a beautiful curved staircase, which I wanted for Legally Blonde. And that was built by someone from Tauranga came down to build that. So it is very much a group effort. Everybody has to do quite a lot of work. And then my production managers sort of coordinate all the heads of department to make sure that that's all running smoothly. And then the creative team sort of are the ones who inform what everything needs to look and sound like.
Mm-hmm. So lots of the people doing all the stuff are volunteers, basically.
Everyone is a volunteer.
Every one of us.
Yes. And that's how we manage to keep the ticket prices down, because no one gets paid.
No.
But you still have costs. So all the costs are covered by ticket sales, essentially?
We also get some grants, and also part of Ingrid's job was looking at sponsorship. So we had some amazing sponsors, BMC Lawyers and View Fuel Digital Marketing.
Yes.
We had some great sponsors who came on board to help as well. And, that kind of covers costs. We like to try and keep theatre accessible. Our board is really...
Absolutely.
Really passionate about that. So we tried to keep like $35 for a ticket to see a show of that sort of size and standard. We thought it was really reasonable.
Very reasonable.
And it means that people can come and see theatre because we're passionate about theatre, making theatre, so you want people to see it.
We haven't put even our cabarets and things. We were very reluctant to put our prices up over the years. Mm. Because it adds up if you've got, four people coming or you're a family, it can cost too much. So we've always, we should keep that low, as low as we can.
Yeah.
Because it's in-house as well, our show's in-house, cabarets and things.
And you want to attract audience from by all means possible, really.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, and our in-house ones are easier to keep the cost down because we don't have to pay for venue hire, which is always quite a large, it's quite a large chunk of the cost is venue hire.
And costumes are all in-house as well normally.
Yeah. Yes, because our costume hire,
we don't need to make anything.
Pull stuff from costume hire.
Yeah.
It's vast.
Because you do hire costumes.
Yes.
Yeah, from your building. Now, it's a building you own.
Yes.
Derek told me you own that building, which is a great asset to have, but it also would require maintenance and upkeep, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and it's an old building. So we're at the point where we are doing regular maintenance and making sure that it's still usable. Yeah. And because it's a working theatre and we have patrons in regularly, we have to make sure
it's
compliant and everything.
Yeah, of course.
And then also we run our costume hire out of the sort of other half of the building is all of our costumes and stuff. So, and then we have other places to store our set and our props and that. So, yeah, we do. It does. That's part of the board's role is also maintaining the building and all the less glamorous stuff.
Yeah, but essential stuff that has to go on. Without it, you couldn't operate.
No.
So, all the maintenance on the building, is that done by volunteers as well?
It varies.
If there's something we can do, we'll do it. But if we need a roofer or an electrician
You have to hire them.
Yes.
So, we we do sort of regular working bees to kind of spruce up the place, and we've, you know, we can all paint and do those bits and pieces. But yeah, we had to replace part of our roof recently, which none of us could do. So we had to obviously get someone in to do that.
Experts in for that.
Yes.
Okay, well, this has been absolutely fascinating. But I'm going to ask you the next question. What's next for Coasters?
Ooh.
Any secrets you can
let? No comment.
No secrets to be let out of the bag.
Yeah, there's something afoot, which is what's on the end of your leg. But we are talking about it, aren't we, Jessica?
We are. So next year we will be doing smaller shows in our little theatre, which seats like 56 people.
Yeah.
So we're planning on doing probably 3 shows next year, but they'll be smaller ones. And then we'll also be working through getting our big show set up for 2027. We do like to, when we do our small shows, we like to have a bit of variety. So that's what we're looking for. We like to have some, you know, something a bit funny, musical. So we try and sort of have different shows so that we appeal to different audiences. Mm. So for example, last year, we did 3 shows and they were all very, very different. Very. So we had Ordinary Days, which was a small four-hander.
Yes.
So 4 people in the cast, and it was, fully sung. And it was quite a contemporary musical. And then we had Check Out Girls, which was Joe directed.
It was like a
comedy, and it was very funny and a slightly bigger cast, a lot more sort of set and stuff compared to the first musical. And then at the end of the year we did a play, which was our first play. We did Nick Dear's Frankenstein. Which was very dark, which was very dark and intense and really different. So we try and have that variety when we're announcing our season for each year.
Yeah,
and we hope to announce our season next month.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll wait with bated breath. And also in a few years, 2030 by my reckoning, you'll have your 50th anniversary, so that will have to be big,
true.
Won't it?
Oh, my God.
It will, and I think given that our 2020 didn't pan out, our 40th anniversary did not at all go how we had planned, I think we'll aim for something big.
Well, thanks for today. I've had a wonderful time talking to you both. I've been talking to Jessica Clough and Joe Sharp from Coasters Musical Theatre.
Thank you.
Thanks very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's Focus on Arts for this week.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.